Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Pope Francis died this morning of what the Vatican says was a cerebral stroke. Millions of people around the world are mourning his loss, including in Rome's St. Peter's Square.
We can't believe it's happened while we're here. You know, he was a lovely pope. We're very sad about it.
Fordham University's Father Thomas Massaro on why Francis was such a popular pope.
This is a good, approachable pope, one that people felt close to elderly and kids. And I think it really put a human face on the papacy.
Papal contributor Candida Moss on some of his efforts to be inclusive.
Adding numerous cardinals from Africa, from Asia, and from South America. He pushed for reforms to include women more in the leadership of the church.
President Trump today ordered flags flown at half staff in honor of the 88-year-old pope. His last public appearance was just yesterday for Easter Sunday. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. State lawmakers are circulating legislation to create a two-year pilot program for pre-kindergarten learning. The bipartisan legislation seeks to prepare kids to enter the school system. The program targets families that meet the income requirements in low-income school districts. The Wisconsin Department of Children and Families would select providers, and the program would be fully funded by a $500,000 grant each year. Studies show pre-kindergarten educational programs have led to greater student success through high school. This week is National Work Zone Awareness Week. The theme, drawing attention to safety for road construction workers, is Respect the Zone so we all get home. Work Zone Awareness Week is April 21st through the 25th. Counties and communities across the state are urging people to drive carefully and pay attention while driving through highway work zones. Over the past 5 years, more than 10,300 crashes in Wisconsin work zones caused 56 deaths and more than 3,600 injuries. Officials ask that everyone on the road eliminate distractions and be mindful of your speed. Respect the zone so we all get home. Aspirus Health in Wisconsin Rapids is hosting a free back pain solutions event next month. This community event will happen on Wednesday, May 7th from 6 to 7 p.m. at McMillan Library. The event is free, but they do ask that you register at aspirus.org. The presentation is designed for anyone experiencing chronic or recent back pain. The following day, there will be a free home buyer seminar at McMillan. You'll get a chance to walk through the process so you know what to expect when navigating today's housing market. The free seminar is May 8th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. You can register by emailing amberg@membersadvantagecu.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers clobber the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had a season-high 16 hits on the way to a 14-1 win over the A's. Milwaukee stole 9 bases in the game, 6 of them in just one inning. Both franchise records. The Brewers' Sal Frelick.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that every team and every catcher thinks that. Like, whether we're stealing or not, just being at first base or second base, the pitcher and catcher thinking about you is a success.
Manager Pat Murphy.
I think that's one of the ways we win. You know, we win by collecting hits, taking walks, stealing bases, having the threat to steal, which gives you a better pitch to hit sometimes. That's one of the ways we can beat you.
The Crew in San Fran tonight against the Giants. NBA, Bucks getting ready for game 2 tomorrow night after losing 117-98 Saturday to the Pacers.
I think we were late. We didn't have enough urgency. Going to game 2, hopefully we can improve that or we can change that. We'll see. But going to game 2, we're going to be better.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Stuck under cloudy skies today and battling a breezy wind, still gusting up to 30 to 40 miles per hour, keeping us cooler with highs in the upper 40s. And for tomorrow, more clouds. A wave of rain in the afternoon and high temperatures milder in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie Dawn.
What does Justice Alito have in common with the Wisconsin Supreme Court liberal bloc? We discuss at the top of the show next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, April 21st, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mayloff here, and we're welcoming into the studio Little Charlotte's Rescue. We're going to be talking about a really cool event coming up with this organization and a bunch else. But I want you guys to get to know the people that I just got to get to know a little bit, and I'll let you introduce yourselves. And Kim, if you don't mind, I don't know how much we'll be hearing from Kim, but if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, Kim, just in case they hear your voice and like, who was that? So if you wouldn't mind, Kim, introducing yourself.
So I'm Kim Haviland. I am a board member that Sherry brought on when we first started. I
appreciate you being here, Kim. Thanks. Sherry.
I'm Sherry, and I am the director of Little Charlotte's Rescue. We started Little Charlotte's Rescue in 2022 after a crazy friend of mine who lives in Harlingen, Texas, called me and said, hey, I have these pity puppies and their brother and sister. They've been in a hoarding situation. They pretty much have lived in a kennel their whole life, and brother got sister pregnant, and if I bring them to Wisconsin, will you find them a home? And I said, absolutely. And I hung up the phone, and my husband said, what did you just agree to? And that's how it all started.
That's how it started. Oh, wow, that's awesome. That's kind of interesting. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
If we can rewind even a little bit farther, if you don't mind, Sherry, mm-hmm. where did this passion and care for animals come from? Is it something new, or has it always been there?
It's always been there. So we actually got a dog who is not a rescue, and her name is Little Charlotte. And she is 100% unconditional love. Like, you don't pay attention to her and she smacks you with her hand, or she does this noise, she needs attention.
Yeah.
So I just realized that what she is and what she does for me is absolutely unconditional love. So I wanted that for other people. And I've always wanted that. So I've always been like, you have to come over and meet Little Charlotte. Come meet. And everyone's like, she's not little. She's not. She's an 80-pound American Bulldog Bull Mastiff. So she's a big girl.
Oh, yeah.
And she just loves love. And the more people that I think can experience that kind of unconditional love, the better off I feel like people are.
Yeah, and better off the world is.
Absolutely.
You know? I came into animals late, but I started in my mid-20s, started working at shelters, and I was in California when I actually got to do some real work at a real shelter out there, and I fell in love with animals instantly. And certainly dogs, not having them or anything like that, but there was something immediately that I felt a pull towards, even though
Absolutely.
I didn't grow up with them. And I realized real quickly that as much as they are givers of emotions and love and unconditional love, like nothing maybe on the earth, on the planet, they also give you an opportunity to realize what you have in you. Animals
Absolutely.
Do. And the when it comes to like starting an organization, you said this started in 2022.
Yes.
So if I'm talking to you in 2015, 2019, something like that, I got to imagine
never have said that this would be my life.
Right.
Never in a million years.
And that is the power of not only love and passion, but willpower and drive and care and what human beings can accomplish. And I feel like going back to animals, I feel like animals remind us of that.
Yes.
I feel like animals are every day, especially dogs, are such an everyday reminder of what we can be and how great we can be, not only as people, but to each other. I think in something like this and what you guys are doing here is a real accumulation of that. So I was so excited to talk with you guys today and about this great organization. And it's not surprising, but it's really cool to hear that story. I wasn't expecting, though, with all the research, I do my homework on these interviews. I work hard on these. I did not know that that's where Charlotte, is that where Charlotte came from?
Yes, little Charlotte is our unconditional love. Sassy, 80-pound, wants undivided mama attention 24/7. And when people adopt dogs, I'm like, this is going to be the worst of it or the best of it, because I can tell you Charlotte's 4 and she still chews up everything a mama's.
Yeah,
if it's
it.
Mine, she has to have it.
the things that you've described, Sherry, are things I think that are incredibly relatable, and there's a lot of people that can, but not everybody has that same passion and love and then starts something like this and gets something like this going. What made you want to do that, the Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue?
After I originally talked with Charlo, who's another one of our board members who lives in Texas, I realized, you know, talking to her, that there are so many dogs in Texas that people just drop. Like, you go behind a gas station, a grocery store, anything, you go like in the middle of a field and there will be puppies just running. And once I went down there and actually did our first transport, I realized how many dogs there really were. And something about being in Texas and the way things are there is, it's so much different than here. Like, here in the winter, things kind of die off. There in the winter, the coldest it gets is 40. So the dogs kind of huddle up in a little pile. And then as soon as it gets warm, like now, it's already 90. They start reproducing. And people just don't fix their dogs there. So it ends up being, you know, 20 dogs on the side of the road. And people just don't even notice them anymore because they're so used to it.
I years ago had a blue tick heeler that came from Texas, and she was in a hoarding situation, and she had only ever we got her young, but she had only ever experienced stuff in a garage. And
very
eating
common
on concrete and stuff. And so when she came here and you saw her like hitting the grass, I can still picture, this is almost 10 years ago now, but I can still picture the look on that beautiful dog's face, the excitement she had and everything from that.
This last transport, we had that, we called her Whiskey, and she was the mama of some Chihuahuas. And when we got on grass after we had gotten her out, she just started rubbing her belly, and I had to video her, and I was like, oh my God, you guys, look at her. She just loves to scratch her belly. And before that, like, we could barely touch her. Mm. After she rubbed her belly on the grass, suddenly she was like, oh, these people love me. And I was like, I want to keep her.
Yeah.
I have to. You cannot keep them.
I appreciate that. And I bring up what I was about Chloe, the dog, the blue tequila that we had, in part because this is something that has been going on for a long time, especially this almost pipeline between Texas and Wisconsin, or Texas and the Midwest.
Yes.
And these, and a lot of that involves the laws and the rules that they have there in Texas and in some other southern states. I want to be really clear. I am not saying any of this is a judgment on that. I'm not going to tell another state how to do their business or what they're going to do. I do prefer and lean towards what we do here in the Midwest.
Absolutely.
With our animals. And I think it's not only a more humane way of doing it, but a smarter and a more financially smart way of doing it, and a number of other factors. But I think that it's noteworthy also because it's not common knowledge that, you know, whether it's having no kill shelters here and not so much down there, or euthanasia with animals, or any of these other topics that might come up in the conversation. So not only do I think it's noteworthy, but I do think it's something worth looking into for people out there and seeing why organizations like Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue or something are so vital and so needed. And let's talk about now the what you've been able to do with this organization and the work that you've been able to get done.
So we actually have saved over 400. I would love to have an exact count for today, but I can't. But at some point, I will definitely.
I wish I had my ringing bell. Like, that's amazing. 400?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We,
wow.
So every transport is between 30 and 40 or 50. Just don't tell my husband. He never asks anymore. He just kind of says, so how many are you bringing? And I just laugh and say, I don't know till I get there.
That's a good guy. That's
yeah,
a good guy.
Yeah.
Right there.
So
and a smart guy. A
he
smart
is 100% the support for me that I need. And I will never say that he's right, but he is absolutely right in the scenario of if I'm down there and somebody says, hey, there's one more, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
So we definitely have done quite a bit of work. We make sure that all the dogs that come up here get fixed, are up to date on their shots, that they, you know, have the flea and tick treatment, that they have everything that they need to be successful here.
Yeah.
We have a contract that says, you know, something happens, we'll bring them back. We have, gosh, like 15 or 20 fosters now in Texas who bring the dogs into their homes and get them safe and secure so that we can transport them here. We have another 15 to 20 up in Wisconsin that, you know, take dogs for us and get them in a home environment so that we can find out for sure 100%, are they dog friendly? Are they kid friendly? You know, things that people want to know before they adopt a dog. If for some reason they're not dog friendly, we don't adopt them to a family that has another animal. You know, we want to make sure that we're doing the best fit for the dogs and to make sure that it's a successful transition.
Talking to people over the years, starting a nonprofit can be difficult in itself. Adding on these that are added on layers to this, like not only the transportation, but, you know, the contracts that you mentioned there and some of that. Again, it just comes down to you do something like this because you love it, you're passionate about it, you care, but you also because you see a need in the community for it or in life, in society for it.
Absolutely. Like, as a nonprofit, myself, and Kim would say this exactly. It's not like I don't get paid to do this. I don't make any money. I actually, over a year ago, quit my full-time job because it wasn't something I was passionate about. And I started grooming so that ultimately I could take off whenever I want so that I can go to Texas. It's definitely not something that you get paid for. And if you talk to people who do rescue and who do transports, they'll tell you that you need to have a tough skin. Like, if you don't have a tough skin and you have a soft heart, you're not going to last. And I've seen so many people who do rescue, especially in the last year, actually, who have quit doing rescue because it's so hard and it's just so much. Yeah. And it seems like every day it's like there's another dog being euthanized. There's another dog being dropped. There's another dog being mistreated. And you can only save so many. And that's a really hard concept for me to understand. But that's why I have a board. They remind me of that, and they remind me that we've already saved so many, so we just try to kind of follow through with that and just save as many as we can.
I had a really rough, you know, upbringing, and I've experienced quite a bit in life. I mentioned again that I didn't grow up with animals, so I was warned quite a bit that when I started working in shelters and fostering dogs, hey, you're going to get attached, hey, you got to be careful of this, this, and this. And certainly listened to those people and heard them, but also will wholeheartedly admit I took it incredibly lightly. I could almost draw one of the dogs that I'm thinking of right now as you were talking about that the shelter that I worked out in Santa Barbara and everything. The attachment that you get to these animals, the love and care that you get for them, you really do need a thick skin, a thicker skin than I realize. And I always like to credit people that are in this job doing that, because not only do you guys know that better than most, but you continue to do it, even knowing that. That's not only appreciated, but I find it to be one of the more beautiful things in humanity that we can do for not only each other, but for these animals. We're on a place on the food chain for a reason. It's not so that we can look down or anything. It's a chain. In order to keep that thing moving, we all got to look out for each other, every Absolutely. Living thing. And so much of what you're doing here is keeping that chain moving. It may not seem like it's the largest scale to some or anything like that, but these kind of things are done on this level. And the more organizations like this that we have and the more of this going on, the more we can keep that food chain moving and keep everybody, keep this whole thing moving, this whole world. It's a beautiful thing that you're doing over there. And it's so noteworthy to have things like this. And you kind of led us into this. And I want to get into now the Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue Pet Drive that is going on right now and talking a little bit about this. What is the pet drive exactly? And what are the items we need for the drive?
So we do... every time before we do a transport, we do a fill our van, or we do a pet drive, or we do something where we collect new or used items that we either take to Texas or we use for our fosters here. And it really, honestly, it sounds crazy, but it could be anything. Like the other day, someone's like, oh my gosh, I just threw out a bunch of washcloths. Well, guess what? We can use washcloths. Mm-hmm. We can use towels. You know, somebody was like, oh, I have a bunch of old bleach. Guess what? Pour it into two bottles into one and bring it. We'll use it. there's always something that we can take or we can use to help somebody else who potentially is fostering dogs for us, or, you know, even old leashes and old collars that you're like, well, I really don't need this anymore. Like, I just want to save the tag for my dog, but I want to help somebody else. Absolutely, we can take them.
Yeah. And not only anybody out there who's ever owned an animal can, I think, immediately think of, oh, what could they need or what are things that they could need, and probably go through a list in your own head of that. But anybody who has ever moved out and, you know, started on their own.
Absolutely.
And had their own apartment or something like that. Like, if you think about it on that level, I think right away you start thinking of things that could be used over there. This is a great opportunity, and this is a great community to do this with, because this community responds to these kind of things. We have the Humane Society in every week and love talking with them about different things that they're doing over there and how the community responds to that. With this event, we got items that we want to drop off. As you were saying, that I thought of items that I could drop off. Where can we drop those items off?
So I know that the radio station has several places in Rapids that are accepting donations. We also do have a building in Whiting that we can work with people. If you go on our website, you can definitely reach out to me through that way. And we can, even if we have to pick up something, if it's a bigger mm-hmm. item, or if you have several items, you know, we're willing to work with anybody to get donations that, you know, are acceptable and that we can use, and that's going to help somebody.
To Sherry's point, these are WFHR, WIRI studios. If you want to drop something off, you can over here at 1690 2nd Avenue South, or right by the roundabout. Come say hi to Pam. From the Ground Up Coffee House, 250 West Grand Avenue here in Rapids. And, of course, our great friends over at Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue right here in Rapids. You could drop these items off over there. And Sherry wasn't kidding. I mean, you know, we were certainly thinking of the collars and leashes and some of those things, but I see as items needed, blankets, towels, kennel grates, garden hoses, cleaning supplies, a lot of these things that we could really use. And I think if you might not think of it right away, but if you take a couple seconds and really think about it, oh yeah, that they could definitely use this.
Absolutely.
If there's an item that like isn't on this list or doesn't come to mind right away, but I'm like, oh, I think that they could really use it. Can I call up and find out if you can use it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is there, we'll give the contact information before we wrap up. And this is wrapping up, everybody. It's this has been going on since the 15th. We've heard us talking about it on our morning show and some other places, but it is going to be wrapping up on May 1st. So I want you to be able to get those items donated before then. Keep that in mind. If you can get them out there before then, it's greatly appreciated. But as say it is May 2nd and you're hearing this interview or something like that, and we'll figure out a way to get those items to you guys as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. We take them all year long. We go to Texas several times, so we always fill and get what we can.
Speaking with Sherry and Kim from Little Charlotte's Rescue, and one thing I wanted to make sure we noted before we let you guys go, and I saw this in your notes, that you don't have a building here in Wisconsin yet. They don't have a location for this yet. But that is a goal. That is something you're hoping to
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Now, again, this community really steps up when it comes to things like this and everything. So I wanted to make sure to put that out there in the ether and make sure that our community and all these great businesses out there know that. I will bring up, this may seem like a reach, but I don't think it is, our friends over at Focus and that are part of that are over in the Sparhawk Trucking building. Mark and the gang over at Sparhawk saw that they needed a building. They opened their doors to them and brought them in. And you just heard me mention Sparhawk Trucking three different times right now.
Yes.
They are not advertising with us. I'm mentioning that because they're a local business to put back into this community, and I appreciate that. That could be you out there with our friends at Little Charlotte's. Opening your doors to nonprofits is not only one of the greatest things you can do for a community and helping each other out. It's PR 101. It's marketing 101. Attaching yourself to a nonprofit is one of the better ways of, I mean, what would you pay for good PR? Yeah, any marketing, any salesperson out there has no number to be able to give you on that. That's the kind of thing that you're doing when you're helping out or being a part of things with group organizations like this. And a rising tide raises all boats. You know, when we work together, when we help each other, it's something that we not only make better a better world, but better for our animal kingdom and all of our furry friends out there and everything. To that point, you guys do work with our humane societies and that, and are communicating with them.
Yes, we bring several dogs actually from kill shelters in Texas up here so that they aren't euthanized, and they get amazing homes up here, and we have a lot of success with it.
Sherry, before we let you go, not just with the pet drive going on, but just with the organization in general, is there anything we as a community can do to help? There's so many great listeners out there that maybe they don't have $1 billion to be able to invest in you or something like that, but they'd really love to be able to help some other way. Is there volunteering or certainly bringing items to the rescue or to the pet drive here?
Absolutely. We always have times when we need volunteers. Sometimes it's like handing out flyers. Sometimes it's helping me photocopy 35 pieces of paper so we can make folders. We have a volunteer group on Facebook. We can add you to that. And there's always something that comes up that I'm like, oh my gosh, I just can't do this by myself.
And before we let you guys go, is there anything else you wanted to touch on? Did we cover everything? Did we?
Yeah. So we do... I guess they're companion dogs. So if you are a veteran and you just need something, my husband is a Marine and we've seen firsthand how dogs can help him and other veterans. So we do no charge for the dogs for combat veterans. And all you really have to do is reach out to us and say, hey, I need something. And we are going to go bend over backwards to get you something that's going to help you, to show you that you are needed, you are loved, and that we're going to support you.
Sorry, that got me, sure. Thank you. Thank you for that. I hope you guys enjoyed yourself. I hope it went well because you're going to be back. You did too good of a job. We got to bring you back. We want to keep talking with you guys, not only with other pet drives maybe or any attention we can bring to Little Charlotte's Rescue, but I think just for the audience getting a chance to see as this grows, and I do think it's going to grow. So we look forward to talking with you again real soon. For anybody out there that has any follow-up questions or would like to know more about Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue, or ways they can help, is there a contact number? Is there a way to reach you or a Facebook page or anything like that?
Absolutely. There's a Facebook page, Little Charlotte's Rescue Wisconsin. There is my phone number. It's my direct cell phone number, and I may regret this in about 20 minutes, but 920-427-7735. You can leave voicemails. You can text me. You can, you know, reach out through the Little Charlotte's Rescue Facebook page. We have a website. We're always willing to help and we're always willing to look for help, and anything that, you know, you think that you could do to help a puppy, we're willing to work with you.
Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue has their pet drive going on now until May 1st. And again, you can drop items off at From the Ground Up Coffee Shop, our Family Natural Foods here in Rapids, or our WFHR, WIRI studios. Encourage you and thank you for doing that. Keep up the great work, you guys. We appreciate you.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services says the rate of babies being born with congenital syphilis is increasing in the state, while the overall number of sexually transmitted infections decreases. According to DHS data, the number of babies born with congenital syphilis in 2024 rose to 31 from 25 cases the previous year. Overall, the Department of Health Services received over 31,000 reports of sexually transmitted diseases in 2024. DHS officials say they're sharing the data to encourage more testing and prevention efforts to keep residents healthy. Can AI help people with opioid addiction? Joanne Krulutz has the answer.
A new artificial intelligence tool developed by UW-Madison could streamline care for people battling opioid use. The AI tool was able to identify hospitalized adults at risk for opioid use disorder and recommend them to addiction specialists. The tool can scan clinical notes, medical history, and other health records in seconds for patterns associated with opioid use. A study funded by the National Institutes of Health and the National Institute on Drug Abuse used data from more than 51,000 hospitalized adults, 727 of whom completed addiction medicine consultations.
The Wisconsin Rapid City Council is considering a change to the ordinance to allow beekeeping in the city. They are currently looking for a beekeeping expert who can provide information to the council and also to residents in the city. If you're interested and knowledgeable about honeybees, you can contact Alderperson Jay Catanaw at 715-697-0786. You can also find Jay Catanaw's information on the city website, wirapids.org. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new Star Wars film officially has a title, and it's called Star Wars Starfighter. The film's lead actor will be Ryan Gosling, and it will be directed by Sean Levy, whose previous credits include, well, pretty much everything. Levy has directed the recent smash Deadpool and Wolverine, all three Night at the Museum films, and executive produced Stranger Things. Gosling's last big film was The Fall Guy, so I'm sure he's eager to wash that taste out of his mouth. Star Wars Starfighter hits theaters May 28th of 2027. There is something about podcasts that seems to help celebrities open up. Emilio Estevez recently appeared on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast. Host Josh Horowitz asked The Outsiders actor what the worst note he ever got from a director was. Estevez says on the set of St. Elmo's Fire, director Joel Schumacher screamed at the top of his lungs, "Have a good bleeping time." Estevez says Schumacher was a bully and wildly insecure. He also made a very mediocre Batman movie. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, some showers possible late, and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, plenty of showers around, highs to the mid-50s. Another rain chance late Wednesday and Thursday. High temperatures climb to the upper 60s. Currently 49 degrees.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and share this overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk all things Wisconsin and the news with Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, April 21st, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here in part two today at 4:30. We're going to speak with Cheryl Paulson. Little Charlotte's Rescue is what we're going to be focusing on with her. Right now, not only do we have some of my alma mater kids coming in today, Lincoln High School. I say a shout out to my former stomping grounds over at Lincoln. But we're going to be talking acting. So that means that there will be no journalistic integrity with this interview, as I've been acting since I was 7 years old. I've got tons of bias with this interview. We're just going to have some fun today, gang, because we're going to be talking with Lincoln, some of the kids and cast and crew from Lincoln High School's The Lightning Thief coming up on May 1st. We're going to tell you how you can get tickets, support these kids, support local theater, and all of that. We'll go down the line here, let you guys introduce yourselves. We'll get into a little bit of the play, the rehearsal process, and some of that. So we'll go ahead and start right down the line here. Put a voice to the name, if you will.
Hi, my name is Jaden Pecatua, and I play Grover in the musical.
Hi, my name is Jordan Harriman. I am the sound tech, and I'm also the costume designer.
My name is Charlie Shaw, and I play Luke in Percy Jackson the Musical.
My name is Adelina Harches, and I play Annabeth.
My name is Jackson DeWitt, and I play Percy Jackson.
Nice. Well done, you guys. Well done. All of you spoke very clearly and loud. I could tell that I got performers in here. I love that. Oh, I love that. That's awesome. So thank you for doing that, you guys. I want to get into the show itself for a second here and talk a little bit about that. What is, for those that have never heard of the play, what is The Lightning Thief about? Is there a man running around in a robber mask trying to steal clouds? Is that, because that's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing that's what happens with it.
So I wouldn't say that it's exactly about a man running around with stealing clouds. That was more Madhouse, which was I did in the summer.
Nice. Nicely done.
But so the Percy Jackson the Musical is about a 12-year-old boy who has been kicked out of schools his whole life, has had bad interaction with his guardians, his parents, his stepdad, and his dad has been out of his life for his entire life. And so he goes and... he gets this, there's this big stuff, a bunch of crazy stuff happens to him where he gets attacked by a crazy demon lady, and then he gets sent to this half-blood, a camp, not a half-blood, a camp full of a bunch of half-bloods where he has to, he finds out that his dad is a god. And so then he finds out also that in during this there is... The gods have been fighting over a stolen lightning bolt, given the name of the show. And so during this, he finds out this whole thing. He gets told that he has to go on a quest. So the whole show is basically about him going and finding this lightning bolt and returning it and, like, making name to himself because Zeus, the biggest of the three gods, which is Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades, he is told... that Zeus is, like, super mad at him because he's the son of a really big character, one of the three gods, Poseidon. And so he's got to make name for his father because Zeus thinks that he's sent to Half-Blood, which is half-god, half-mortal, one of the kids of the gods, and he has to make a name for himself. So that is basically the whole show.
Yeah, nicely done. So, nicely done. Well done. And not always easy to do when you're trying to do this while, okay, I don't want to spoil anything. Don't spoil anything. Don't spoil it. It's tough to do, but nicely done. Well done, Charlie. I appreciate that. And with that, now this story is, were you guys familiar with this story going into it?
I don't know if all of us did, but I for sure read the Percy Jackson like books growing up, so this was kind of a...
Cool.
I've read the books like 20 times.
Yeah. Right on. Okay.
I've been attempting to read all the books.
Okay, so you're going to get there. It's kind of fun when you get a chance to, I mean, acting in any realm of it, I should say not just acting, but being a part of theater in any way is always fun, no matter what you're doing involved with it. But to do something that you have a little bit of an interest in or a tie to, or you just understand a little bit more, can like, enhance the performance a little bit, not just for you, but for the cast, the crew, the audience, everybody involved. So that's kind of cool. It's interesting. And this is certainly one of those ones that's a popular series that we've seen it in movies, TV shows, all of the above. So it's going to, I have no doubt that people are not only going to, you're going to get people interested in that part of it, but certainly the kind of people that have made it popular as well. A lot of younger people probably going to be interested in this one as well. Thank you for that again, Charlie. Appreciate it. So now I want to get into taking a step away from the show itself for a second. And I want to talk with you guys a little bit about why you decided to do this. Now, I, again, journalistic integrity out the window. I've wanted to act since I was 7 years old, and I've been a Screen Actors Guild member since 2008, and I've been fortunate to have over 100 characters. I bring all this up because I am not necessarily a social butterfly. I'm not somebody that when I was your age, I was even worse. This is the good version of me. And I'm not even that great with it to begin with. But I think that a lot of people think that when it comes to performing or anything like that, that is, that's your typical person or something. But there's so many different after-school programs and different things available for kids. But I don't think that there is enough said about the arts and that there is certainly enough funding put into the arts. So what I ask ask this question of why you guys chose to do this. I want to know you, and I want to get to know each one of you and why you did this. I also want you to note that we're trying to do with this interview is not only get people to attend this show, but the next show and the show after that. And we want them to audition for the next show and the show after that, or work behind the scenes or along those lines. So what we're doing here is not just that, but it's bigger than that. And it's bigger than any of us, because that's what entertainment is. Well, let's start off going down the line here. Why did you decide to do this incredibly brave, crazy thing? And I don't mean talking to me on the air, the actual thing, the whole play thing.
Yeah, so I've been in choir my whole life. Because my sister took choir, and I wanted to follow in her footsteps because I like being better than her. and so then, after I was in choir for enough years, I kind of used that as an emotional outlet for me. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I guess my emotions started getting too big for that. Mm-hmm. And so I was recommended by a close friend of mine to do the theater program, because he said that really helped him explore his feelings. So I did. And I joined it last year for the My Fair Lady show, and I was Alfred Doolittle in that. And
right on.
Little flex.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You earned it. But I appreciate you sharing the previous experience of being on a stage with singing and some of that and everything. Did you find that helped you when you were first trying to get on that stage as an actor?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Because I have a lot of stage fright. So, just being able to go back to the choir headspace and, kind of tune out the audience a little bit and just do what I need to do, that really helped a lot.
Appreciate that. Jordan, I love every opportunity, and we don't get enough opportunities to talk to people behind the scenes and backstage. Some of my favorite people that I've ever worked with are just love being a part of theater, but don't have any interest in being on that stage. Like, that's overrated. The real fun is back here behind the scenes.
That's what I've been saying.
What was it about that or any of this that made you want to do this?
So I actually acted first, and I hated it. So, but prior to me acting, I've been mixing music since I was 12, and it's always been something that I enjoyed doing. And this year I took theater capstone, little plug, and I got to do costumes for our fall show, 12 Angry Jurors, and also I'm the youth apprentice this year, so that was like my youth apprentice job. But getting to do something else creatively, mm-hmm. behind the scenes, not just something that I'm used to, because I've also been involved in music since I was very young, and getting out of my realm of what I'm used to, mm-hmm. not just like technically, but also behind the scenes, has been like really, it's been nice for me, mm-hmm. and I'm very proud of myself in the sense that I have done so much with it. And I think there's also kind of not a stigma so much, but something saying that like if you do theater you have to act, and that's something that like you don't, because I know so many people who they love it and they love theater and they love musicals and they love all this stuff, but they cannot get on stage and act, and I'm one of those people. And I don't know, I hope any of that made sense.
Yeah, no, it did. It did. I appreciate that. I appreciate not only that, but you sharing a little bit more with that, too, because this is what we're talking about with this conversation is for, supporting the arts and promoting them. I mention this whenever I get a chance. Wisconsin finished dead last in supporting the arts in the union. Yeah. We are working to change that around here. We're working to bring awareness to that around here. You guys are doing that with this conversation, mm-hmm. and with this play. And the idea of encouraging people that have maybe wanted to do this, but think, oh, I don't want to act, so I can't be involved in plays or anything like that. You can go to here in Rapids, the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, or really anywhere you're listening to us, you probably got a community theater. It's filled with people that for years and decades have been working and going there, and maybe they're doing costumes or props or something along those lines, and have had just as much fun as the people on stage. So that's a great note. I appreciate that. Charlie, not that I put you on the spot enough already, but let me get a little bit of why you decided to do this.
Well, I'm happy to talk, so I kind of got thrown into theater. My friend about 2 or 3 years ago, he has a picture studio that is funded by his aunt, and he was really big into like making scripts and directing shows, and so he wanted me to be a lead in one of his movies. So the way I got into acting originally was I played a character named Ben in The Four Elements. I think it was the name of it. I don't know. They've been editing it for like 3 years, and I don't think it's ever going to show up again.
Story of my life.
Yeah,
man. That's acting.
Yeah. So I mean, hopefully it'll eventually end up somewhere. But so after that, I kind of fell in love with theater. Like I loved being able to make a new version of myself on screen, and also I wanted to try doing it on stage. And that's when I found stage theater at Lincoln. I joined my sophomore year and immediately fell in love. I love being able to go on stage and being able to talk and being able to deliver these lines that mean so much more than I could ever think to people. I've played a variety of characters. Luckily, I don't think I've been typecast yet. But I've played villains. I've played comedic characters. I've played burglars. I've played cool camp counselors, as I do in this show. I don't know. It's been an immediate love from the second that I found out about it.
It's a really strong experience, especially at such a young age. It's really cool to hear. You have a lot you can build on with that. And I appreciate the note, whether it was intended or not, or what you were getting at there. I've talked about this quite a bit when it comes to acting. I've done every kind of medium, and I'll say that as much as I think that TV, movies, film work, it has its own special element to it. To me, in order to consider yourself an actor, you got to be able to do it on stage.
Yes.
You get one take. That's it. And if you can nail it on that one take, great. But most anybody can do film and TV acting.
Yeah.
It takes somebody that really has a hunger and a passion for this to be doing live theater. Mm-hmm. I don't think unless you've done it, you can truly understand what it is like to do it on any level, from a small level to a large level or anything. I think it's a great note, Charlie. Thank you for that. Adelina, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I got to commend you and your voice. You have an amazing voice, a wonderful voice. You have a director's dream of a voice.
Yep, I've been told that.
As you can
Adelina know, has broken two mic elements.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, you're going to be able to put that on your resume. Like that's really
okay.
good.
So,
what got you to want to do this?
It was kind of, I have always liked singing, and I don't know, my mom's a teacher, so I've just been able to do like public speaking a lot. And in like sixth grade, my elementary music teacher told me the night of auditions I should go try this play, and I did, and it was just, it was awesome. It was like the people in theater are like the most accepting people I have ever met in my entire life. Like I can be myself there and no one's going to judge me. And I feel like that's one of my main...
That's awesome. Thank you for hitting on that. Another element of this that I love about theater and I love about acting and all of these in the entertainment world, the creative world, and talking about it. But I get so locked in on the work that I forget sometimes the greatest part of entertainment, and that's the people. And the fellowship that happens with it. And for me, when I moved out here, like I was a transplant, and I came, I could not have had more culture shock coming from where I did to here. And I was not good at making friends. Very, very bad at making friends. I got fortunate right away that I was a little fast. And so I got, picked for, intramurals or whatever, but I never really gelled with a lot of that. But when I got cast in a sixth grade play, it was different. I already knew I wanted to act, but I didn't think about theater. I didn't really think about those things. And I certainly never thought about, you mean I can make friends? Like doing acting?
Yeah.
So I do get to do something I love, and I'm going to meet people that also love to do it, and I may actually make a friend for once in my life. Like, Like it's just something that's so cool about this and the idea of it. And whether you've got a billion friends or you have none, you can enjoy theater. But I think it's a really cool note to mention because there's something about doing this that only other people that have done it can really quite relate to. And there's a friendship in that. And that's true in all kinds of things in life. Mechanics love talk to fellow mechanics or anything else. It's just something that's fun to find at a young age. That's very cool. Thank you for noting that.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're going to wrap up with Percy Jackson. Of course we're going to. So, Jackson, if you wouldn't mind, what got you to want to do this?
I've been, on the stage since I was 3 years old with, RFD TV doing dancing down in Branson. But, and then I started acting because I saw my sister doing it. And so then I was like, you know, I might as well try it. And so I've been doing that through the children's theater, the community theater, and, you know, it's been an enjoyable experience, and I feel like I'm okay at it, so, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, just, you know, yeah, I do a lot of stuff on stage. I grew up on the stage, so it's where I'm comfortable, and so, yeah, that's it's a good experience.
It's an interesting end of it, that I don't often run into or think of, where so many of us choose the stage or want to be on it. Some are born on it. some kind of grow up literally on it and everything. Mm-hmm. That's really unique. That's cool. But also, it's also kind of think noteworthy that your answer is so similar to everybody else's. And such that all of your answers are very similar. There's a common theme without all of them, of the enjoyment and the love of doing something. And the braveness of it. And I don't use that word lightly. I think we overuse it sometimes in life, but it is brave to do what every single one of you guys are doing, no matter your experience, no matter your reasoning behind it. I admire it, and I'm very, very, very proud of each and every one of you and your whole cast and crew that is doing this. The Lightning Thief is going to be premiering Thursday, May 1st, 7 o'clock, and then they'll have Friday, May 2nd, they'll have a 7 o'clock show as well. Saturday, another 7 o'clocker, and then Sunday we'll wrap up with a 2 o'clock matinee on May 4th. You can get tickets for this performance by going to just throw it into your search bar, The Lightning Thief. That's what I did in Lincoln High School. It popped up that way. You can get tickets right there the day of at the box office. You can get them as well that way. And I want to probably get there about an hour before the show, I would say. We'll get into these details one more time before we wrap up. Now, what is the toughest question that I'm probably going to ask every one of you? And I am not doing my job unless I ask tough questions. Favorite part? Favorite part of the experience? Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily something your character did or even to do with the play. Maybe it was just something like we were talking about before with the other actors you worked with and everything. But what was one of your favorite parts or your favorite part? Start down the line here.
More than likely, my favorite part of theater is getting to harass all of my friends.
Harassing is an understatement, Jaden.
Yeah, so I just enjoy having fun with all my friends. And most of the time when I'm on stage, I'm never serious. So
bad. Yeah.
I guess my favorite part of theater would probably have to be getting to, like, again, show, like, my creativity and have that outlet. Especially when it comes to the costumes, because I love getting to put people in, when I have people, like, when I pull people for trying really, like, not stupid, I'm not going to say stupid stuff, but, like, sometimes you look stupid at first when you put a costume on, because that's just part of it. But there was a lot of fur with this show, which was fun.
And you have the satyr in the room right now.
The satyr is in the room. But getting to kind of, like, getting to joke with the creativity and still have fun with it, because though we're stressed out, sometimes we get to that little, like, mm-hmm. I look stupid right now and this is funny.
Right.
Is, like, kind of that, like, buffer, I guess.
Yeah, it's a nice icebreaker sometimes to lighten things up a little bit with some of that tension. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Told you, tough question.
Yeah, I would say probably, I love the ability to just, like, become different people that you never thought you could be. And, like, I love the swords of this show. I've been making the swords for this one with my uncle. He runs the swords stuff, and it's so fun.
I have to say, probably the inside jokes. Like, there's some stuff that happens during, like, rehearsals that only us will get, and it's, like, the funniest thing ever.
No, that's good. That's good. And Jackson.
My favorite part is probably getting to tell a story on a stage, like kind of watching a movie, but except it's live and you get to, you know, have people enjoy it and, you know, tell you afterwards how awesome it is. And also singing bass and having to learn tenor. That's also great.
That's relatable right there.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You guys, you're going to be able to give this community a great show. And you're going to entertain not only family, friends, but strangers and people that are coming there to maybe get away from life for a little bit and take a break. Entertainment is, and plays, especially theater, I think, is maybe the greatest greatest ability of that. You're going to be able to do that to people. You're going to be able to do that. You're going to have a great run. Please say to the rest of the cast and crew, wish them well for me, break a leg, have a great run. To everybody involved with this one, have your fun. We're going to be promoting it on our morning show. We're going to make sure that you guys get a great crowd and let people know that this show is going on. So again, thank you for the time. Thank you for taking on that stage. We appreciate that. And I'll be talking to you guys and seeing you guys again soon. You'll be strangers. You guys are all welcome back here, okay? Great work by all of you, by the
way. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
You guys made this easy. Nice work, all of you. You guys all did a great job. Again, The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical, is going to be premiering this Thursday, May 1st, or next Thursday, May 1st, 7 o'clock. Friday, 2 o'clock, 7 o'clock, May 2nd, 7 o'clock show. Saturday, May 3rd, 7 o'clock show. And then Sunday, we'll wrap things up with the 2 o'clock matinee. All of this taking place over at the PAC, Lincoln High School Theater. Be sure to head on over there to get your tickets and throw it in your search bar to find out more. Or you can go to WRPS.org to find out more information. Buy local, support local. That includes the arts. Everybody support these kids and have a great time at this show. We will take a quick time out. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here in 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Film Festival program director Kirsten Larson and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison discusses their new lineup. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for if they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water?
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off-ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
That first time seeing my son,
I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. He said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. He was seen Sunday delivering an Easter prayer, so millions around the world were shocked to learn of the death of Pope Francis this morning. This woman in New York on the popular Pope.
I say thank you for being there for me and all of us in general.
Reporter Rich Lamb in Rome tells us the Pope's opinions weren't always well received.
The Pope was a robust supporter of immigrants. And he was publicly critical of the Trump administration's policy in that regard.
Trump says he will be attending the funeral in Rome. CBS's Melissa Mattani has more on the process for selecting the next pope.
The voting takes place in top secret, with cardinals, the church's most senior officials, locked in the Vatican's Sistine Chapel.
The Vatican says Pope Francis died of a cerebral